ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like you, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Like a moth to a flame burned by the fire. Love is blind, can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes.
Everybody, welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 187 of the report. And right now, we're rocking out to some old ass Janet Jackson, man. That's the way love goes. Rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, man. It's a Thursday night, like throwback Thursday, man. I kind of felt like that, man. So we had to go back a little bit with some of this old Janet Jackson, man. I think this came out in like 93. Your man's fan was like 13 and shit, man. Didn't know nothing about love or nothing like that. But, man, I knew I liked this shit. I knew I liked this, right? So, yeah, man, we chilling out, man. It's Thursday, man. It's episode 187. And I know I've probably said that like three or four fucking times already. But, yeah, man, this is what we doing tonight. And so we're going to get right on into the show, man. We really are, because, you know, we got a few things that we need to talk about, right? And I'm going to talk about them here tonight. But before we do that, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spann Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead, hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show, respond right here on the show as well. You can also email me here at feedback@thespannreport.com. That's feedback@thespannreport.com. Leave those emails, and of course, I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to them here. Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spann, so go ahead and follow me there. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio and leave those 5-star reviews, man. Those 5-star reviews really do help the show grow, man. Let everybody know why it is you fuck with us over here at the Spann Report Podcast and spread the word. It's your way of putting on for the show, man. Real talk. And for all of your Spann Report needs, you can go to www.thespannreport.com. thespanreport.com. Everything's available there, man. You can watch the replays of the show. You can listen to the show from your phone through the website. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments on the shows. Everything, man, is pretty much available there. So, thespanreport.com is your one-stop shop for everything Span Report related, man. Real talk. But last time I talked to you guys, what was it? Sunday? I think it was, man. I had to get the show out. And it's been there was a lot of stuff kind of going on in the news, man. Like, and there's so much stuff that I really I want to cover, but I haven't really been able to like kind of read up and pay as much attention to that shit as I want to. Like these recent mass shootings, man, that happened in the church in Texas. There was another mass shooting that happened in California, man. These things are happening with more regular frequency. For me, you know, when I get on the mic, I kind of want to make sure that I know what it is I'm talking about somewhat before I decide that I'm going to get on the mic and speak about it with any level of authority. So yeah, man, that's been going on. I haven't been like ignoring it at all. It's just that, yo, man, it's so much going on and I work so much, man. Like, it's just a lot that I'm not really able to keep up on. So I'd much rather just not talk about it and just put out a bunch of bullshit than to just like, you know, do it for the sake of doing it. So yeah, man, there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of ratchet shit going on. I kind of want to lighten up the show, man. We can't have like the seriousness all the time. I mean, we can mix it up here and there, but we, you know, sometimes I want to have fun doing this, man. The show can be a drag, right? So nah, man, we want to have fun while we're doing this. So we're gonna do that a little bit tonight, man, because we got a few things that are kind of funny that we're gonna talk about tonight, man. Real talk. And so, yeah, we're going to go right on ahead and do that. Like, one of the first things, you know, normally I want to get out and I want to get into, like, you know, some random thoughts, right? So one of my random thoughts, man, I had this one random thought, man, and I don't know if anybody remembers this, right? But remember, like, if you, like, grew up in, like, the 1980s, like, 80s, early 90s, remember when, like, guys, like, you've watched, like, an action flick, right? Matter of fact, let me see if I can pull this up. Hold on, let me see. Cause this is something that I think was indicative of the 80s and early 90s, man. YouTube, where is my YouTube? Just a second, y'all. Thought I had this pulled up, but I don't. Again, a lot of shit going on over here. All right. Let's see. All right. So basically back in the day when like dudes would fight in an action movie, there would be like these ridiculous ass sound effects for the impact of the hits, right? So listen to like this fight on Action Jackson back in the day. Have you ever hit anybody and it sounded like that? Have you ever heard anybody get hit and it sound like that? I mean, just listen. Like, he really fucking each other. They really fucking each other up, man. This is like an epic fight. All right. So here's the thing. The point that I'm getting to, even with all the like the thumps and the whips and all of this other shit going on, even when somebody like would swing a punch, like, whoo, whoo, whoo. You remember back in the day when little dudes used to get into fights, that they would make their own sound effects in their real life fights? Y'all remember that shit? Like, you remember, like, you would hear, like, say for instance, if a boxer would hit somebody when they had their gloves on, and you would hear like a sss, like kind of sound when they would hit like somebody, and that would happen for real. You remember, like, back in the day, niggas used to make their own sss sound when they would swing a punch, right? Like sss, sss, sss. Like, they do that shit all the time. I wonder if niggas still do that. Do the kids still do that? Is that something that the shorties do? Is that something that kind of went away when we got older and we knew that shit wasn't like really popping anymore? And I just kind of wondered about that, man. I was thinking about that. We was talking about like old, like 80s movies at work and shit. And we're kind of talking about some of like the funny villains in movies and shit, and like Chucky came up, and like Show Nuff from the Last Dragon definitely came up, like, nigga, please, right? So we was kind of thinking about that. But yeah, man, like the old school niggas making their own sound effects while they in the middle of a fight, shit. I wonder if like anybody else kind of remembered that in the ways that I remembered it, right? So yeah, that was my one random thought, man. So outside of that, man, let's get right into this shit, right? Let's get right into the news. All right. So, yeah, man, like this whole thing, man, we're finding out every day. Like we're finding out more and more every day how much dudes pretty much ain't shit. Right? Like I know women are just like, man, like, yeah, man, like we get it. Like y'all, we been told y'all that long time ago that y'all ain't shit. And it's a whole bunch of dudes who out here just like acting like they didn't know, even though they know all their homeboys haven't been shit for some years, and they just out here like,
well, that'll be a monkey's bare assed uncle.
So yeah, man, we got that shit going on. And so one of the more latest incidents of somebody coming, I think Senator Al Franken from the state of Minnesota has been accused of inappropriately groping a reporter at one point in time. George H.W. Bush has been accused of inappropriately touching women in photographs while they were posing. There was another story about him doing this before he was in the wheelchair and before he was kind of like incapacitated and 90 years old and was like, you know, kind of out of it. So like, you know, we're seeing more and more stories of this kind of pop up, you know, all over the place. And so Louis C.K. Is another one who has recently been outed as sort of a dirt ball, so to speak. So we got this story here out of clickondetroit.com. It says, known for his candid warts and all personal humor, which often includes bodily fluids and sex, CK grew up outside of Boston. He performed stand-up sets in New York and eventually landed a writing gig on Conan O'Brien's Late Night and David Letterman show. He went on to become the head writer of the Dana Carvey show from 95 to 96 and contributed to the animated TV Funhouse vignettes on the Saturday Night Live. He was a writer on the Chris Rock show and voiced patients on the Comedy Central's Dr. Katz Professional Therapist. He also wrote and directed the film Pootie Tang. Now, damn it, I didn't know he wrote and directed the shit with Chris Rock, an infamous bomb. His recent TV series are Basket, Horace and Pete, and Better Things. Okay, so this is pretty much like a rundown of his fucking resume. But the story was basically, it says, five women, including comedians Dana Min Goodman, Abby Schnacker, Julia Wallof, Rebecca Corey, all alleged that the Emmy-winning star of FX's Louis either pleasured himself in front of them, asked to do it, or did so over the phone. A publicist for CK did not immediately respond to comment for the Associated Press. Another publicist told The Times that the comedian would not respond to their reporting. But now, since this story has come out, Louis CK has kind of came out and confirmed everything that these women have said, right? He's taken the tact of, I'm going to attempt to get out in front of this shit, and I'm going to apologize preemptively. Well, not exactly preemptively, because he could have did this. Like, for one, you're not supposed to do the shit. So he didn't do it preemptively, but he's trying to find a different tact in how to respond to this in much a different way than, like, say, for instance, a Kevin Spacey or a Harvey Weinstein or Bill Cosby or, you know, any number of dudes we found out over the course of this time since the Weinstein revelations have come out. Like any other of these dudes who come out over time who just try to deny until they can't deny it anymore. And so he's trying to come out, he's apologizing, and since this has kind of happened, I gotta say, like, some of the reaction to Louis CK, the way in which the media has responded to him has kind of been muted, you know, since this happened. Well, since he's apologizing, he came out in front of it. I think it's been muted. He's gotten a lot favorable, more coverage than, say, for instance, someone like Bill Cosby. Because Bill Cosby is still out here denying it, despite the numbers, the vast numbers of women who say that he did something inappropriate to them or with them or whatever, right? So Louis C.K. is amongst one of the people who is a part of this conglomerate group of people who are trying to buy NBC. Right? Because that's what this is all about, isn't it? Like, isn't this what this is really all about? Like, what we did not know is that Bill Cosby was a part of a buying group. See, this is how it all comes together now. This is how we put this together. So I get it now. I get exactly what you niggas were saying all that time when I was talking about Bill Cosby, all that time, like, yo, yeah, hey, you know, remember when we were talking about, okay, they sold NBC for however some billion dollars, and Bill Cosby, although he has a lot of money, he does not have however some billion dollars. And now I get it. Like, he was a part of, let's see, Harvey Weinstein was a part of that buying group. Kevin Spacey was a part of that buying group. It was Bill Cosby. He was the ringleader of the buying group. Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., all these dudes, like, they were all in cahoots to buy NBC. And so all of these women are coming forth with all of these stories to kind of put a kaput on the NBC purchase. It all makes sense now. It all makes sense. I'm sorry. I even doubted y'all, man. Real talk. My bad. Right? Now, interestingly enough, man, like, you know, it's interesting, like, with stories like this, man, like, with Louis C.K. and Al Franken, and, you know, folks are bringing back up Bill Clinton's, you know, many women that came forward during the 90s. Like, these are stories that aren't even secrets. These are things that help, like, get Bill Clinton impeached. But it's interesting, right, because, like, those on the right are trying to use Bill Clinton as a what about when it comes to their current Senate candidate, Roy Moore, right? So it's like how niggas kind of like try to flip on like Bill Cosby. Well, what about Roman Polanski? Well, what about the father from Seventh Heaven? I don't know. Stephen Collins, I think that's his name. Like, but they always like, what about? What about? And so like Republicans are doing the same thing. They're like, well, what about Bill Clinton when talking about Roy Moore and shit? And so like, it's interesting to watch like people who don't really give a fuck about social justice or moral issues or have any moral quandary about any of these things also try like to try and get engaged in some of these moral quandaries and act as if they really care. And comedy always ensues because we know they don't give a fuck. Right. And they look really foolish trying to do it. So, yeah, man. Louis C.K., one of the, you know, one of the latest of people to get caught up in this, you know, sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, sexual assault, you know, well-known men to be involved in some shit like that, man. Real talk. Another thing that kind of happened in the news that I kind of wanted to speak to, and that is Donald Trump actually did a good thing, right? Like, hold on.
God damn!
Donald Trump did a good thing. I can't believe it either.
Goddamn.
So here's what happened, right? So of course, if you guys have been following some of the news lately, man, you the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA basketball team was over in China, right? Three players off of that basketball team were caught stealing in fucking China. Now, interestingly enough, one of those kids that was caught stealing in China was LiAngelo Ball, brother of Lonzo Ball, son of the infamous LeVar Ball. We talked a lot about the Balls over the summer, man. And so LiAngelo Ball is on, you know, he's on UCLA's team. They get caught stealing at like Louis Vuitton and Ferragamo and Yves Saint Laurent and all these other stores, right? These high price, high fashion stores, right? And one of the things you kind of wonder about with LiAngelo Ball is like, hey, bro, ain't your brother like a millionaire now? Like, you could have probably asked him to get these things for you. Like, why are you doing this? Like, this makes no sense. And as a matter of fact, it kind of made me think of this, man. It really made me think of something similar. Like, can you imagine like how that conversation went when LiAngelo Ball came back home and Lonzo Ball came to visit to create, you know, the crib? Because, you know, he ain't living in the Ball household no more. He got his own spot. But could you imagine the conversation between these two brothers when finally LiAngelo Ball came home from China? It had to go a little bit something like this.
What's up, man?
What's up?
How you at work?
Got fired yesterday.
For real? I thought you had a day off yesterday.
I did. I went in there to pick up my check, came home. Supervisor called me about 4 o'clock, talking about they got me on videotape stealing boxes.
What the the fuck you doing stealing boxes for? What, you trying to build a clubhouse? Man, I know you ain't go out like that.
Hell no. They ain't got me on tape. She said they did. Fired me on the spot. Talking about pressing charges.
God damn. You got to be a stupid motherfucker to get fired on your day off. Pop's talking about kicking you out again?
Yep.
Yeah, man. So I imagine that conversation kind of went a little bit something like that, right? Trade boxes for sunglasses and there you go, right? So yeah, man, like you got this thing, they were over there, they were stealing, man. And of course everybody's like, yo, man, why would you do that? You're in a foreign country, you don't have nearly the same protections that you would if you had been in the United States. We've seen what happens to when like, you know, Americans go over to these foreign countries and they act like dumb fucking Americans and they totally disrespect the customs there. They totally disrespect the culture there. And they totally just like act as if they're above everything and they're above the people who live in these countries. And so they act as if they're not subject to the laws over there. That's really what happens. And so Donald Trump got involved, right? So Donald Trump talked to the president of China on behalf of these three guys. So I'm going to read this story here. This comes out of businessinsider.com. It says, U.S. President Donald Trump on Wednesday pondered in a tweet if the three UCLA basketball players arrested on charges of shoplifting in China will thank him for intervening in the case. The three players, LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill, were sent home from China after being held at the team's hotel in Shanghai on charges of shoplifting at a Louis Vuitton store during a trip to China. Trump asked President Xi Jinping to intervene in the case. Do you think the three UCLA basketball players will say thank you, President Trump? They were headed to jail for 10 years, Trump tweeted. ESPN reported last week that the players were expected to remain in China for a week or two before they returned home on Tuesday. I had a great conversation with President Xi. Trump told reporters prior to the report that the players were being sent home. What they did was unfortunate. You know, we're talking about very long prison sentences. They don't play games. Excuse me. Trump called Xi terrific in handling the subject. Ball, Riley, and Hill returned to California on Tuesday. UCLA is reportedly weighing punishment for the players for the incident. Now, since this article was written, the players have been suspended indefinitely. They haven't put a timetable on those kids coming back. They haven't been expelled from school or anything like that, as you know. You kind of wonder why, right? Why wouldn't these guys be like kind of expelled from school for, I mean, people have been expelled for school for less, right? So the thing that I find interesting here, man, is that like, okay, here you have the current dude who's occupying the White House right now, who's already in Asia for, shit, he was on a foreign aid, like, well, not foreign aid, but he was on a foreign trip. Like, he was touring through the Asian, the Asian continent. And so he's already in the area and he does something on behalf of America he's speaking on behalf of fellow Americans, right? And he's like, yo, I wonder if they're going to thank me. And one of the things I think that was very interesting about that, like, yo, like, real talk, I'm going to say this, man. As much as I despise the asshole, the sickness that is Donald Trump, if I had been in a situation like that, I would hope that that asshole would speak up on my behalf and get me the fuck up out of there. Real talk, right? As much as I despise that dickhead, I would hope that the supposed president of the United States will speak up on my behalf and try to find a way to get me back home to the United States, to my wife, to my daughter, to my friends, my family, everybody, right? So there's that. But the flip side of that is that, one, you kind of wonder, like, why is the dude who's supposed to be the president of the United States looking for a pat on the back for doing what a lot of people feel like he probably supposed to do? Now, I'm not saying that he has to do it. I mean, yeah, truth be told, like, these dudes was wrong as shit. If they were really on video, they got caught on video in all these different stores stealing and everything else. But the fact that he made it a point to say, I wonder if these three guys are going to thank me, right? Because eventually I think LiAngelo Ball did make a statement thanking President Trump and the administration and the United States government and all this other stuff, and I think the other players may have said something also. But like, the idea that, like, yo, I wonder if they're gonna thank me, Like, he wants credit for this shit so bad. Like, this, his whole thing is like trying to get credit for shit. Like, yo, I'm going to dismantle Obamacare so I can claim credit for that. I'm going to, like, he wants credit for having the biggest electoral college victory, even though that's not what happened. He wants to have credit for winning the popular vote by saying, yo, if we get rid of them California votes, I won the whole shebang, right? Like, it's this thing that he has, man, where he needs to be admired. He needs to be adored. It's weird watching him operate in such a way, right? Now, I would say this. It's not weird watching him. It's weird watching somebody in the capacity that he's in as occupying the White House at this current moment. Like, it's weird watching somebody this fucking narcissistic in this space, right? So, yeah, man, Donald Trump saved the ball, boys, right? And you know what's funny, man? Like, real talk, like, this is the least we've heard from fucking LeVar Ball, man. Like, real talk, like, I heard they were supposed to be like a press conference, a joint press conference with LeVar Ball and Donald Trump. Like, could you imagine that? Like, two loudmouth motherfuckers that don't know when to shut the fuck up trying to compete for the mic. Oh, man, that shit would have been horrible. Real talk, man. So, yeah, man, that was what was in the news, man. We done breezed through the news. Now, let's go back to one of our old tried, true, and favorites now, man. People like these. What in blue blazes?
What in blue blazes is going on out here? Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right. So, in what in blue blazes today, man, we got this one story, man. Like, I'm going to tell y'all, man, conservatives, man, if y'all ain't shit, y'all funny than a motherfucker to me sometimes, man. Real talk. So here's what happens, right? Conservatives, like right wing, Republican, racist sacks of shit, they out here destroying their own coffee makers, man. They are out here mad as hell at Keurig. And they're destroying their own shit. And so I'm going to read this story. This here also comes out of Business Insider. It says that Keurig's decision to pull its advertising from Sean Hannity's Fox News show is not going over well with some viewers. Social media users on Sunday posted videos of themselves smashing their Keurig coffee makers 2 days after the company said that they would no longer advertise during Hannity's show. Keurig and the other companies faced pressure to pull their ads following Hannity's interview with Roy Moore, the Senate candidate in Alabama who is facing allegations he engaged in sexual misconduct with a 14-year-old girl and pursued several teenagers while he was in his 30s. Critics of the interview said Hannity went too easy on Moore. By Saturday, several companies, including Keurig, 23andMe, and E-Trade, announced that they would pull their ads. Supporters of Hannity lashed out at Keurig on social media through the hashtag BoycottKeurig, and a few went so far as to record themselves destroying their coffee makers. View the videos below. So we're going to take a look at what the hell these people were doing. Let me go ahead and open this up so I can share my screen so you guys can watch this here with me. Let's pull this out. Yeah, let's do that. And then let's do this. And then I thought I had the original open. Okay, here it is. All right, where is the video? Oh, okay, here's one. Let's see. It's a red Keurig too. I thought the red state, red Keurig makes sense. Let's see him destroy his own shit.
Look what I found. Piece of shit.
He was upset. He beat the fucking Keurig with a bat. Here's another dude, Angelo John Gage. This guy has a verified account. I pulled an office space with my Keurig. Would be a shame if everyone else joined me in the Keurig Smash Challenge. Okay, so let's see what he does.
Before I get started, I gotta make sure that I'm protecting my eyes, my head, and my hands, and everything else. So, let me put on my protective gear. Nice.
Okay.
Alright, now I just need a hammer. Whoa! Excellent. Well, let's get the smashing, folks.
Okay, hold up. Shut the front fucking door. Did this motherfucker actually pull out Steel from the Ghetto Boys Resurrection album to be the soundtrack to him beating the fuck out of a goddamn Keurig coffee maker? Really? I don't even think the ghetto boys would even fuck with a guy like that. Like, like, and not only that, like, I'm low key offended now because Steel is my shit. Like, I still bang that shit in the car, right? So here's the thing. Like, this guy had way too much time, man. He had like a whole production thing going on, man. He's like shooting himself in he got a lot of cut scenes and shit, man. Here's the thing that I find really fucking ironic, man. Like, it's really funny. Like, you know, when black people are upset about something like some social injustices or whatever, and we say, for instance, if black people decide that they're going to do so violently and they're going to burn some shit down, they're going to tear some shit down, they're going to like make sure people know that they're unhappy, right? And Dr. King once said that a riot is the voice of the unheard. And it's funny because white people, mainly conservatives, mainly Republicans, mainly people who would tell you that, you know, the black community needs to, they need to take care of black on black crime and all this other stuff, and you know, a black person is more likely to be killed by a black person than they are by a police officer. I don't see you guys marching in the streets for that, like all sorts of shit in order to gaslight black people and make them feel bad for feeling upset about what the fuck the system is doing to them, right? But the funny thing about this is that, yo, black people, when we get upset and we get angry and we want some shit done and we feel like we're being fucking disrespected as a community and having our rights violated, yo, some shit burning down, and guess what, as much as is fucked up, like, it's in our neighborhood, but it really ain't our shit, right? It's really not our shit. Like, it's like a CVS that burns down and everybody like, well, where the fuck they gonna go? Like they burn down a CVS, what the fuck, man? CVS got insurance, bruh. They got insurance. They gonna get their money back on the shit that they lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, but you bought that Keurig, man. Like, that was yours. You took a L on that one. You mad on that. Like, and it's funny, man, because, like, white people, they destroy their own shit over the most trivial of shit, right? So you gonna tell me, right? You're gonna destroy your own coffee maker. You're gonna destroy your own shit because of the fact that a conservative is on. Wait, let me stop sharing this here. But you're going to tear up your own shit because these companies decided that they didn't want to support a public figure who seemingly was supporting pedophilia. You're going to get mad at a company for pulling their ads from a public official or public person who is seemingly endorsing pedophilia. So are you in? Like, it's weird that you're not even seeing that connection. Like, they're not even seeing it. They're like, yo, I'm really destroying my own coffee maker because the guy that I like is supporting pedophiles. And hold on a goddamn minute. Now I can't have any fucking coffee. Right? They don't even think that far ahead. Like, they burn, like, jerseys and shit when, like, say, for instance, a player decides to leave his fucking town and go play for another team, right? So, like, LeBron James leaves Cleveland and guys in Cleveland are burning his jersey. LeBron James leaves Miami and guys in Miami are burning his jersey. Kevin Durant leaves Oklahoma City and Oklahoma City cats are burning his jersey. It's like, you pay for that, bro. Like, that L is yours. That's your L. Colin Kaepernick decides to kneel. White dudes make it a point to go on TV or get on social media and burn their Colin Kaepernick jerseys. Like, those jerseys aren't cheap. You out, a whole lot of money. Like, those guys that's like burning up NFL paraphernalia. Like, yeah, I can't do it, man. I can't support the 49ers anymore, man. Like, they let that son of a bitch kneel during the national anthem, man, and I can't take this shit anymore. We're not gonna take it. And so they burn their own shit. Y'all a strange bunch, man. A strange bunch. I don't get it. I don't get it, man. White people. You know, and you know what? I wonder what it's going to take, though. I wonder what it's going to take for white people to turn on some shit that they love. Like, really love. Like, not the NFL. Not fucking NASCAR. No shit like that. Like, what would it take for white people to give up shit like, I don't know, pumpkin spice? Like, what? How could they do it? Like, what can we do to turn white people off of the pumpkin spice? We should make that like a mission. Like, maybe Colin Kaepernick should like get on like his GQ magazine and say, yo, you know, like I wake up in the morning and then I drink pumpkin spice like lattes and shit. You know what I'm saying? And then I get up and I drink like I had like a carrot cake that had like a lot of pumpkin in it. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, I like in the afternoon after a workout, I totally sabotage my workout and then I have like a Line and Kugel's Harvest Patch Shandy, you know what I'm saying, nigga? And then like maybe that's it. It'll totally fuck up their world. Think about it, man. Real talk. White people destroying their own shit. God damn, man. Some other shit that's over in Blue Blazers, man. Let's get off of this, man. Some other shit that's been happening in the Blue Blazers. We got another story that I think is real kind of, well, damn it, it ain't kinda. It's really it's some fucked up shit. We got a guy who is transracial. Now, yeah, about that. Like, transracial isn't really a thing. This story here comes out of what's this? WTSP.com. I believe it's like a local affiliate somewhere. I'm not exactly sure. But it says out of Tampa, Florida. It says, riding in a flamboyant purple vehicle, Jadu shows up to a coffee shop to open up about his new identity. Jadu, born a white male named Adam, now considers himself a Filipino. Turns out the purple ride he drives around is called a tuk-tuk, an Asian-derived vehicle used for the public transit in the Philippines. Used for public transit in the Philippines, he says. Jadu is part of a small but growing community of people who considers themselves transracial. It refers to someone born one race but identifies with another. Sound weird? Not to them. Jadu said he grew up enjoying Filipino food and events and the overall culture. Whenever I'm around the music, around the food, I feel like I'm in my own skin, he said. Now. We've heard this before. We've talked about it at length. Rachel Dolezal was a thing like for like a year and a half. She's kind of been like disposed of, so to speak, man, not really getting any actual work. You know, she's been kind of marginalized in the ways in which she was seeking, right? Like, people look at her as a joke and people are going to look at this guy as a joke. As a matter of fact, let me see if there's a picture of this guy. And we can, you know, let's see what you guys think. Let's see. Let me screen share really quickly here. Yeah, let's do that. All right. As a matter of fact, well, there's video. Let's turn this down. Oh, snap. That's his car. It looked like a bike with like a tricycle with like, you know.
Yeah, they use them a lot in the Philippines.
Yeah, like whenever, a, look like, you know, a bike with like, you know,
I'm around the music, I'm around
like
food,
like a bus shell like over the top of it.
I'd watch the History Channel sometimes for hours, you know, whenever it came to that. And, you know, nothing else intrigued me more but, you know, things about, you know, Filipino culture. I think if you're unhappy with who you are and you change yourself for the better and that makes you happy, you know, go for it. But it's, I would never say it was a privilege to, you know, be unhappy with yourself all the time. Well, the funny thing is, you know, I had to make sure that it wasn't just me, because if it's just me, then there must be something wrong, or maybe I'm just strange.
So he's a part of a group on Facebook called the Transracial Support Group. There are 53 members in this group. So it's not a really large group of people who are out here talking about their transracial, at least not on social media. But I wanted to point that out. And then in that group, there was only 53 members in the world who claimed to be transracial in that Facebook group. But I'm going to continue to let this video go ahead and play.
Created the group in hopes of, you know, getting our message out in a bottle, and people started to join. People started to message me about, you know, their conflictions with themselves. My family knows about my transsexuality, but they don't know anything about this. It's just, my mom is kind of an older world person, And I just think that something, telling her something like that is just too wild. I believe that we all have the freedoms to pursue happiness in our own ways. We can pursue...
Wait, is he in New Orleans?
We can pursue intimacy with whatever partner we want.
All right. So, here's the thing. Not only was he... he's a transsexual. He's transitioning from... transgender. He's transitioning from a male to a female. But he's also trying to, you know, trying to add on being transracial, right? And he talked about, you know, it not being a privilege to be unhappy with yourself. Here's the thing, though. We only, so far, we're only aware of this ever being a thing for white people, right? Like, black people don't get to do no shit like this, man. I can't walk into a bank and say, yo, man, give me this home loan and give me that prime, you know, that prime interest rate. Oh, don't worry about it, man. I'm white. And you hook me up. I'm not subject to redlining because of I'll walk into a bank and say, well, you know, I'm transracial, man. I'm Italian. I got a German last name. I can't say, man, you know, I drive a motherfucking Volvo, man. Like, I drive a Mercedes Benz, man. I drink, you know, nothing but German beers and all this other stuff. I can't do that, man. Like, I can't, you know, like, it doesn't work the other way. Only white people get to say, you know what, I'm going to try on another race to see how I feel about it. And it's always like they say, well, I enjoy the culture. I enjoy the food. I enjoy the atmosphere. Like, you can enjoy all those things as a white person and just respect those people and respect their culture and respect their surroundings and not totally try to make it about you. That is totally fucking possible. You can do that. It's not something that isn't available to you. To enjoy these cultures, to enjoy the people, to enjoy the music and the food and the arts. You can still do that as a white person. You don't have to try to put on the skin of these people, of any people, and try to proclaim yourself to be one of them. You don't have any of the same shared experiences that these people have. You don't. And at the end of the day, you can still walk away from this shit and be like, you know what? Yeah, I was tripping. And go right back to the privilege of being a white person in America. So, yeah, man, as much as I, like, sympathize with the guy, you know, or the young lady, you know, like I said, they're transgender. As much as I sympathize with them in that, understand that still, like, yo, this only works because you're a white person. Nobody else gets to do this. And if you don't think so, like, well, you know, we already can kind of, like, tell that there might not be. I try not to be so dismissive, but, yeah, man, like, you know, like, yo, like. Something might be wrong, you know? So, yeah, that's going on, man. Another thing that we can kind of talk about that I feel like somebody is searching for a little bit of redemption here. Y'all remember Chrisette Michele, right? Chrisette Michele is the young lady or the singer who decided that she was going to sing for Donald Trump during his inauguration. And she did this in spite of multiple pleas from black fans all over the country, decided she was going to do it anyway. Went on Power 105.1 in New York and justified it, and then came back on Power 105.1 and apologized for her having gone and done it anyway. And yeah, man, she's trying to come back. Chrisette Michele is out here trying her damnedest to get back invited to the cookout, right? So we got this story, man. Chrisette Michele has this new song. And it's called Black Lives Matter. And Chrisette Michele is kind of hoping that with the release of this song that she may be invited back to the cookout. But
that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Like, you could have just, like, kind of listened to your people the first time and you wouldn't be going through a lot of this. But, you know, I digress, right? So Chrisette Michele has this video for this song, man. Wait, no, that's not it. That's not it. Let me see if I can pull this up on YouTube. Let's see if they got it on there. Yeah, they got it. Of course they got it. Let's play a little bit of this. Sounds churchy. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, this shit got lyrics and everything.
What's supposed to be understood will always be misunderstood until it's time to be understood. Enlightened where the ego's removed. What's supposed to be truly heard won't be in the poetry of words. It will be in lessons discerned. If the flesh releases concerns, every word I say ain't a word. All that I believe ain't for grabs. It's okay to be who you are. If it serves you, stay where you're at. If you hear the truth from my lips, it's okay to never admit. I will speak the life I have learned. Hopefully the love is returned. If love is love is love.
Okay, hold up. Like, real talk, I ain't gonna lie. I kind of like it. I kind of fucks with it. Like, damn. I mean, it's okay. Like, real talk. Like, I can see me in it, like, you know, just chilling on the way home from work. You know what I'm saying? You know, trying to wind down a little bit, man. Like trying to get, you know, trying to just like bring it down, man. You've been had a long day at work. Probably want to come home, have a little drink or whatever. Put a little, you know, something, you know, mellow on the radio or whatever. I could see this maybe being one of those songs. Not a bad song. Not even going front. I would rock this. I would fucking play this. Only problem is, this song would probably be a hell of a lot more better received if it hadn't been for all the bullshit that she had done before. Right? People would be a whole hell of a lot more receptive to this if it hadn't been for all the bullshit that preceded it. Like, if she just had to listen, maybe she wouldn't be going through all of this shit that she's going through right now. But also, maybe if she hadn't have gone through all of that shit, maybe this song doesn't get made. Right? The thing is, like, you don't know. All I know is, like listening to this song is like, you know, again, to me, it sounds pretty good. Like, I can see myself maybe in the car listening to it on the way home and, like, just kind of winding down, like, chilling out. But, yeah, like, she kind of fucked herself in the game with all of this extra shit that she did that she didn't have to do. Yeah. I don't know. Y'all letting her back in. You know, she trying real hard, y'all. Like, she went on an apology tour and shit. Like, she's putting out Black Lives Matter songs, man. Like, she's putting forth some sort of effort right now. Like, she's like, yo, man. She's giving her, like, mea culpa in multiple ways, man. So, just kind of curious, man. Y'all can hit me up on thespanreport.com. Y'all can, like, email the show. Let me know, man. Do y'all think, you know, Chrisette Michelle deserves a bit of a comeback in the black community, man? Like, since a lot of y'all done revoked her black card, right? Her black card has been snatched for that shit she did with Donald Trump. But yeah, man, let me know, man, because honestly, like, yo, I think the song sounds okay. I think it does, and that's just being honest and objective. I think the song sounds okay. So yeah, that's going on, man. Real talk. Now, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit, man. We're not in Blue Blazers anymore, but I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about sports, right? We don't talk about sports as much here as I would like. And, not so much as I would like, but, like, we don't talk about it a hell of a lot, right? But what I will do is I will say this. There may be a sports show coming. There may be a sports show coming. I got some ideas. I got some people. We want to do this sports thing. And it may be coming, and it might be called the Beer and Chicken Podcast, and it might already have a logo, and we might have already bought the name, and we might have already bought equipment, so we might already be recording, so it might be a thing. So I'm just gonna say that, right? But getting to the sports thing, Kevin Durant, right? He did an interview with the Bleacher Report, with Rick Bucher over at the Bleacher Report. I think he used to be with ESPN at one point in time. But he did this interview, and ESPN actually wrote up, they did a write-up on this. Let me see if I can pull this up and see what exactly Durant is talking about. So basically, it's basically about Kevin Durant. I'm not going to read the shit. It's basically about Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, how he feels about the way in which he left Oklahoma City, the way he felt about the city, the way he felt about the organization when he left. And he talked about loyalty to, you know, to a city, to a team, to, you know, to an organization, so to speak. And one of the things that Kevin Durant was talking about was like, yo, there is no loyalty to the to NBA players. You know, there's only loyalty one way, and that's, you know, expected of NBA players. Now, we've talked about this here on the show a couple times before, where we talked about, you know, as a matter of fact, I think it was in reference to Kevin Durant and in reference to LeBron James, man, when LeBron James finally decided to go back to Cleveland. Like, we talk about how the attitude of the NBA player, the modern NBA player, the modern pro athlete, the attitude that fans have towards these athletes is that these athletes owe them a debt of gratitude for even being in the league. And if these dudes decide that they're going to do something that they feel is best for them, best for their family, best for their careers, and they decide to make a move for their own individual benefit, then they're somehow disloyal, that they are ungrateful, that they're spoiled, overpaid babies, right? Spoiled, overpaid babies. And they should just do it the way that we used to do it when we was coming up. You know, Michael Jordan and Larry Bird would have never joined with Magic Johnson to form a superstar team. And Michael Jordan wanted to beat these guys. And then you look up and they're all on the fucking dream team and shit. Like, I think one of the things that always kind of gets lost in the sauce is that, like, yo, the movement that the guys have now, they didn't have back in the day. And a lot of the guys that y'all think wouldn't have moved back in the day probably would have, but you never know because the rules didn't facilitate it that way, in much the same way that these guys have it now, right? Whole lot of guys would have probably had rings that didn't if they'd have been able to move in much the same way that Kevin Durant was able to move, that LeBron James was able to move, that Joe Johnson was able to move, that and like all these guys, like shit, Chris Paul able to move, Carmelo Anthony able to move, and Allen Iverson able to move. Like, you know, I think the last great player to play all of his games for one fucking organization was Kobe Bryant. Played every last game for the Los Angeles Lakers. And even he tried to force a trade to the Chicago Bulls. Right? So, you know, you got that thing going on. But one of the things I think is very interesting, man, is like he talked about loyalty to the NBA. Or loyalty from the players. And we're seeing like over and over again that there really is no loyalty to the players. The players are just a commodity. The players are something to be consumed and thrown away. So a player in the NBA, if he decides to leave for a better situation, the people in that town burn their jerseys and call him an overpaid, spoiled bitch and all these sorts of things. And even in college, right? So, like, you know, you look at college athletes, man, they're supposed to be grateful that, you know, they get an opportunity for a free education. Despite all of the money that these college players are making for these universities, these guys are supposed to be honored and grateful for the fact that, yo, you get to go to our institution for free. And some of these guys are good enough to go pro right out of high school, don't even need to go to college, but the system forced them to go to college simply because the colleges would collapse if it wasn't for the efforts of these players. Right? So, like, Kevin Durant speaking about loyalty, speaking about, you know, the fact that there really isn't any loyalty to the NBA or players. Like, we never really expect owners to be as loyal to the players. We never expect these universities to be as loyal to the players. Like, once a guy is not producing in much the same way that you thought he was going to produce, what do? They shut his, they ship his ass out. They'll package him in a trade with two other motherfuckers so they can get the one guy that they do like, right? There's no talk of loyalty then when these guys are traded away for nothing or when they're waved away for nothing. There's no talk of loyalty there. So, like, the whole thing with Kevin Durant going to Golden State, I was like, yo, okay, I hope he win it. Because now everybody mad. And much the same way that I hope LeBron James won it, because at one point, like, I remember the first time that the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Golden State Warriors. One, I only wanted them to beat the Golden State Warriors because I wanted my 96 Bulls to keep the greatest team of all time moniker. You know, I want you know, for those are my selfish reasons. But I wanted that. And then the other reason was, like, yo, everybody was on Golden State's dick that time. And I was like, you know what, man? I'm rolling with King James on this one. I want Cleveland to go ahead and win one. I don't even like Cleveland like that. But I want them to go ahead and win one because I'm tired of everybody, like, everybody jumping on that Golden State bandwagon. In much the same way that the Heat bandwagon kind of, like, you know, the wheels fell off on that one. Remember Heat Nation, y'all? What happened to them? What happened to them? Anybody seen anybody from the Heat Nation? Y'all seen them? No? Yeah, me neither. So, yeah, like, there's that thing, man. Like, the idea of loyalty to NBA, NFL, college basketball, college football players, there isn't any. The institutions don't allow for there to be loyalty to these players. Even when insofar as, like, when we talk about player protests, right? Like, the Detroit Pistons coach Stan Van Gundy wrote an op-ed piece in Time magazine about player protests in the NBA and in the NFL. And, you know, all over sports radio here in Detroit, man, you're hearing people talk about whether or not it's even necessary for him to even talk about it and how he's alienating his fan base. Like, hey, and as a matter of fact, he's alienating his fan base. And whether or not the owner of the Pistons should stop him from doing these sorts of things. And I got to say, like, I'm wondering, like, one, like, do you really, like, this is so too altruistic, right? Maybe the Pistons owner has decided that he doesn't want the money of racist. Maybe. I doubt he's that fucking good a guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, as an owner, I think they want all the monies, right? He's got a business to run and everything else. But maybe he doesn't really care, like, if racists decide that they don't want to be coming to Pistons games or whatever, because, you know, they talk about the Pistons being 10-3 and nobody coming down to the Little Caesars Arena and all this shit, man. And folks are talking about how these player protests are reasons why they don't want to come to the games. Like, yo, you want all this loyalty from these motherfucking players, but you can't extend that loyalty to them when they need it. When they're trying to bring some much needed, like, if they're bringing a concern that they have to their fans and their fans are like, hey, fuck you, just entertain me, fuck you, I don't want to hear this shit, I come to basketball because I don't want to hear this stuff, I watch the football game so I can escape this stuff, right? So there really isn't any loyalty to these guys, man. You want these guys to entertain you, jump around, run around, and then you forget about them. They're disposable. And Kevin Durant was spot on with the whole idea. Like, yo, he talked about, you know, money and business kind of fucked up a pure thing when it comes to, like, sports and shit like that. And yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. But yo, make no mistake, we're not surprised that there isn't any loyalty to the players. And I've been speaking about this. I've spoken about this often. You know, the attitude and even some of us, like even some of my like the brothers, right? Like, we talk about this all the time. We talk about sports and stuff like that. And guys are still like, man, shit, I ain't respecting that shit Kevin Durant did, man. That was a bitch move, man. You don't go to the team that beat you, man. That ain't Michael Jordan the one that did that shit, man. And I'm like the biggest Michael Jordan fan in the world. But I understood what Kevin Durant was doing. Like, and I understand that, like, yo, the times in which we are in right now doesn't necessarily translate to how we grew up. Things change, man. Shit changes. So, yeah, man. Kind of wanted to speak to that. And I did. So, yeah, there we go. But tonight, I'm about to get to one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to do the show tonight, man. There was this video that came out earlier in the week. And I'm going to play it. And it was basically a video of this young girl. She's probably like maybe 15, 16 years old. And her parents bought her a car, right? And her reaction to the purchasing of the car was not what everybody expected. So let me go ahead and pull this up here. Where is it? Here we go. So, okay. So, first things first.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. This shit just auto starts.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the video starts, the caption of the video says, "Hardworking parents gifted their teen daughter a car, but her reaction might stun some of you," right? So as this video starts, young lady looks like she's sitting in a brand new Mazda, maybe like a Mazda 3 or a Mazda 6 or something like that. Brand fucking new car. She's sitting in the car. So here we go. That's we set the stage. Here we go.
Hello? Oh, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah. Later on.
And I'm gonna share this here in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna leave out tomorrow. Yeah.
Now they didn't took. Now hold on, they didn't took this girl out of that brand new Mazda 3 or Mazda 6, whichever one it is. I'm not really versed on which Mazdas they got, but they're at a Mazda dealership. They take her out of this brand new Mazda, and they walk her over to a 1992 Lincoln Town Car.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
This girl looks like she's maybe 15, 16 years old. That car, maybe 10 to 15 years older than she is, at least. But we'll keep watching. Check this out.
And they, it ain't gonna look bad when they cleaned up tomorrow. They had to get on out of here, and I got to leave tomorrow. I got to get on back to work.
What?
Open it up and look on the inside.
He ain't gonna drive it home.
You can drive it home and bring it back up here and pick it up tomorrow. It ain't that bad once they clean it up.
You ain't gonna look at it. Jasmine, what is wrong with you?
Jasmine, you ain't got to worry about it. You got no car note.
All right, so the girl looks at the car like she's opened the door. She looked into the car, closed the door, walked into another car that maybe one of her parents, maybe like somebody who somebody else who may be there with her while they're presenting her with this car, maybe for a birthday, maybe for a graduation. I don't know. But the girl ain't feeling the damn car. And she goes and she sits in the back seat of one of the other cars that they came to this car dealership in. And they're surprised that she doesn't like this car. Big ass 1992 Lincoln Town Car. Huge ass car. Like, those were boats. Like, I remember those damn cars, man. The town car was a boat. Like, you didn't just fucking whip a town car. Like, I know a lot of guys, like, you know, like they put rims on it and shit like that. No, that ain't what happened. That's not what happened in here. Like, the tires are like dirty and shit. Like, the car is dingy. You can tell they didn't wash the damn thing. Like, she ain't feeling the damn car. And they still trying to get her to, like, and like really like, oh my God, what are you doing? Look at your car. So like, we're gonna keep watching the video.
It's paid for.
Jasmine, why you don't wanna look at this car?
And it's paid for. We got all that you gotta worry about is paying for the insurance.
Jasmine, come and look at the front. Come on.
Did you see the front? You didn't even look at the front.
But
hey, you're
gonna be 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you gotta go to school. It's paid for. That's the main thing, it's paid for. Only thing she gotta worry about is her insurance.
It don't look bad.
And once they detail it, and you know I clean cars up too.
That girl got out, she looked at the front. And she got right back into, hold up, that looked like a fucking...
She don't want to just get the money back tomorrow.
That's a new Buick she just stepped into, right? Okay, so here's the thing. And yeah, that's pretty much the end of the video, right? So here's the thing. I saw a lot of people talking about how this girl was ungrateful for the gift of a car for her birthday. I saw a lot of people talking about how they wish that their parents could afford to get them a car at some point in time during their teenage years, and how much they would have jumped at the joy at having this brand, this new car that they can drive. Like, I ain't got to ride the bus. I ain't got to wait on nobody else to get me no ride or nothing. I got my own car. My parents got me a car, right? And I hear all of that, and I know everybody kind of draws from their own personal experiences when they think about situations like this. But I'm going to tell you right now, the reaction that these parents got was their own fucking fault, right? Their own fucking fault. And I'm going to tell you why. One, I have a very hard time believing that you got a 1992 Lincoln Town Car at a Mazda dealership in 2017. I have a very hard time believing that. I also have a very hard time believing that you got a 1992 Lincoln Town Car at a Mazda dealership, and they hadn't even cleaned the motherfucker up yet. Now, I've seen used cars at, you know, like car dealerships. Even brand new car dealerships tend to have like certified pre-owned vehicles, and you look at them, and they usually have it, you know, they detail the damn cars, they clean the cars up, they put fucking Armor All on the tires and shit, they glistening and shit. The car looks like it's presentable, like they really trying to sell the motherfucker. This car here looked like it's been sitting at the junkyard for quite a while. Like, the paint job on this bitch is dull. The tires on this motherfucker ain't clean. And you took this girl, you took this young girl, 15, maybe 16 years old, you took this young girl to a brand new car dealership to pick up a 92 Lincoln Town Car. And folks are calling her ungrateful. I would submit to you that I think this young lady was expressing extreme fucking disappointment. Extreme disappointment. And I just say this, man, like, you know, I think that if these parents had given this girl this car at home, they didn't take her to a fucking car dealership, and they didn't have her sitting in a brand new Mazda, and then present her with this 92 Lincoln Town Car with balloons on it, and say, look at this car, like, oh, look at the front. And they hadn't done anything special to the front of the damn car. Like, they hadn't done anything special to the damn thing at all. Like, oh my God, look at the car, baby. Look at it. And I believe that if they had just presented this car at the house, then maybe they would have gotten a better response from her than they did by bringing her to a damn brand new car dealership saying, you about to get a car, and then this is the car that you get. Right? And then on top of that, I kind of bring it to, like, you know, I try to bring it sometimes in ways that, you know, we can kind of all relate a little bit. So, like, take for instance, if you take a kid, you tell them they're going to get some video games, and you go to GameStop or whatever, and, you know, like, they looking at shit, Xbox One X, or they looking at the PlayStation 4 Pro, right? These motherfuckers, these damn systems got 4K gaming, man. Like, they got the Blu-ray players in them, man. Like, you know, they could play online, man. And they got all of their friends they could connect with and all this other shit, right? And you're like, yeah, we're going to get a game. We're going to get some video games. And you take them there, and they looking at all this new shit. And then y'all walk out with a goddamn Sega Master System, right? You walk out with the Sega Master System. These kids don't know what the fuck a Sega Master System is. These kids don't know who the fuck Bonk is. They don't know who the fuck Altered Beast. They have no idea what these fucking games are. In much the same way that this young lady had no idea what a Lincoln Town Car was, because they don't make the damn Lincoln Town Car no more. They haven't made the Lincoln Town Car in damn near 15 years. They don't even make them no more. They just brought the Continental back. Right? So the idea that this young lady could not express disappointment, I think, gets lost in the sauce. It was a whole lot of people talking about this young girl being ungrateful, right? I'm looking at comments right here on the video here on Facebook. Ungrateful, spoiled little bitch. Spoiled little bitch. Somebody else says ungrateful. This shit is so fucking sad. Wow, my mouth was wide fucking hole. Wait, my mouth was wide open the whole fucking time. Honestly, this girl is very ungrateful. I couldn't see my daughter doing this to me. Screw that, parents. Let her black ass walk her ass to school. Piece of shit. Now, she's a piece of shit. She's ungrateful and she's a piece of shit. Another person called her a bitch. Like, here's another thing, man. Why do we continue to parent for the internet? Right now, understandably so, like, you probably thought you were going to get a different reaction. You were recording this, you know, you wanted to see her reaction, see how happy she was to have this car and everything else, and you didn't get that. Now, I don't know if these people were recording this shit live or what. I don't know if they were live streaming, but I'm wondering, like, yo, why would you upload this knowing what the contents of this video are, you know, what the contents is of this video? Why would you upload this? Why would you then subject your daughter to this sort of public scrutiny and allow total strangers who don't give a fuck about you, don't give a fuck about your daughter, to therefore then start calling your daughter out of her name, calling her a little bitch, calling her ungrateful, calling her a piece of shit, all because she expressed disappointment in not getting what she thought she was going to get? She probably thought she was going to get a brand new car. And it's this parenting for the internet, man. Like, they set this out to embarrass their daughter, to make her feel bad about how she made them feel about getting this car at a brand new fucking car dealership. Right? And it made me wonder, man, like, you know, we see this all the time. And like, are black kids not able to have fucking emotions? Like, are we beating emotions out of our kids? Are we scolding emotions out of our kids? Like, if our kids are, like, if our sons are hurting, like, you know, you tell them, don't cry, nigga, suck that shit up, be a man. You know what I'm saying? If this young lady didn't get what she thought she was going to get, all of a sudden she's ungrateful instead of being disappointed. Right. As much as maybe her parents were hard workers. Right. Because that's how the video is presented to us. Hardworking parents buy their daughter a car and we don't get the reaction that we thought we was going to get. Like, even hardworking parents, like, yeah, sometimes you can disappoint your kids. It's going to happen. You're not always going to be like, they're not going to always be the most proud of you. Sometimes you're going to disappoint your kids. It used to be a time, like, I remember, like, you know, like, say, for instance, my daughter, right? Like, my daughter, there was a time when my daughter was younger, when she was like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know what I'm saying? When she was younger, like, for her to disappoint me would really fuck with her, right? Would really fuck with her. Now, my daughter's 14 years old. She'd be 15 in February. Now, she's kind of got a little mind of her own. She's growing into a whole ass human being who has her own set of feelings, who has her own set of ideas of what she thinks the world is supposed to be. And sometimes I may disappoint my daughter. She may not always get what she thinks she's supposed to get. But I'll be goddamned if I put my daughter out here on social media for the fucking world to call her an ungrateful little bitch. Why do we keep doing this shit? Why do we keep putting our fucking kids out here for the public scrutiny, for the pat on the back that we think we deserve as parents? I'm with this kid on this one. I'm with the kid. Like, you know, normally, like, you know, folks to talk about, you know, like, you know, these kids, you know, back in my day and all this other shit, we'd be in these ornery ass, old ass motherfuckers who sound like our uncles, sound like our aunties and shit, who think that, like, yo, the way that we grew up was the right way to grow up and there's no other way to do it and things don't change. Like, yo, man, I'm with the kid on this one. She expressed disappointment. She wasn't happy about what was going on there. And she could have acted a fool. She could have, like, nah, what the fuck is... She could have been like, yo, what the fuck is this? Like, why would y'all get me this shit? This is ugly. I don't like this shit. This is bullshit. Like, she could have did all of that. That girl had nothing nice to say. She said absolutely nothing. She looked at that damn car. She didn't like that damn car. She probably felt like she was bamboozled and said, fuck it, I'm just going to sit in here and act like I didn't see this shit. And I'll be goddamn, I'm with her on that. I'm with her on that. But I got this idea, man. I'm just wondering where we are when it comes to these ideas of, you know, one, whether or not this girl is ungrateful, and two, why we keep parenting for social media and letting complete fucking strangers disrespect our children. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. So, yeah. I'm going to put that poll up there. That'll be a poll question tonight on the Spam Report, man. Go ahead and vote in that poll whether or not you think the girl was ungrateful or whether or not she expressed disappointment or, you know, whether or not you don't even know. Let me know, man. Vote in the poll. I have that up available on thespamreport.com on this episode. So we, you know, you guys can go ahead and put your input in on that. But, yeah, man, I've got to get out of here. It's 11 o'clock already. Jesus Christ. So yeah, I'm going to get out of here. But before I do, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spam Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them here on the show, respond here on the show. And you can also call the show live while we're doing this, right? So go ahead and call the show. You can be a part of this as well. Also, email me at feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Leave me those emails and I'll read those here live on the show and respond here as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there and chop it up with your boy throughout the week. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Leave those 5-star reviews, man. I really do appreciate everybody who does that. It helps the show grow and it's your way of putting on, man. So everybody who goes about the business of doing that, I really do appreciate it. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. Watch the shows live. You can watch the replays of the show. You can listen to the show. You can vote in the polls. You can donate to the show. You can do a whole lot of stuff at thespanreport.com. So, yeah, go ahead. Do that. I'll let you boy. But, yeah, man, I got to get out of here. My voice hurts, and it's time to go. So I'll talk to you guys later. But until next time, fam, peace.